Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. My name is Greg Williams and welcome to my office here, Baylor College of Medicine and Texas Children's Hospital here on the 10th floor of the Pavilion for Women Hospital here at the Texas Medical Center, right in the heart of the Medical Center, which is one of the most awesome medical establishments and conglomerate of expert hospitals and doctors and physicians. And we're right here in the OB-GYN department of Texas Children's and Baylor College of Medicine. We're doing something a little different tonight. It being Easter Sunday. We have a guest that's we are pre-recording today, and we're going to be playing live or playing on the live segment during the Easter Sunday evening. So we hope and pray that everybody had a great Easter, and we hope that you're sitting back and just enjoying some of your candy and maybe after having that big meal. But most of all, just remembering the what this season's all about, our risen Savior. And that type of thinking as spring is starting to come around the corner for all of us. There's always ways to get involved. If you're watching this on Facebook tonight, feel free to go ahead and comment. My son is running that in Seattle, Washington, my son Curtis in the United States Army. So you'd be happy to comment on the program tonight there, or you can just go back and listen to all the archives there. BBS Radio, you can listen to these programs all on the archives with BBS Radio, or you can listen, just basically say, hey, Siri, and tell her what you want to listen to. And my iPad is just trying to get me to listen to Siri right now, where you can call up that show and listen to the program that way. Or if you have a comment or a thought, you have some way you want me to get a question or a comment to our guests that you're listening to tonight, feel free to text me at 832-396-6525, and it'll go right here to my cell phone, and I will be happy to pass that on to our guest this evening and her publicist, which have both been wonderful people to deal with, and looking forward to the program this evening. You know, as I travel around the country, I go to Tulsa tomorrow. Of course, this is a week or two early, so I've already been there by the time this program plays. But I'll be in Tulsa for several days, then going to San Diego, going to San Francisco, going to Hollywood, going to Miami, going to Atlanta, Georgia, and then Honolulu, Hawaii, then Dallas, the Crimes Against Children, which is one of the unbelievable conferences in the entire nation. I'll be speaking four times at the Crimes Against Children conference in Dallas coming up in the next few months. A lot of people come up to the book table or after a presentation and say, hey, Greg, how do I help somebody? What do I do to be able to give them the aid that everybody seems to be needing now since basically since COVID hit? We're all in need of some type of help, some type of assistance, especially the younger folks, and we're going to be focusing on them tonight. But if you want to just pull out a piece of paper real quick, I'm just going to give you a few of the tips that I give those people that as they ask me, what can I do to help? I think the number one thing that we really need to do is just be there, period. Just be there. Just make your presence to them. Just letting them know you're there, especially if they're dealing with grief, if they're dealing with depression, A lot of people that have just lost somebody close to them don't need you to come in with all this advice and all of these books to be able to go and say, hey, read this chapter and this will be great for you. This will get you through it. This is what happened when my dad died or whatever the story is. Just being there and just a shoulder to lean on, just a hug is huge for anybody that needs help. That's going through some type of depression, some type of pain or trauma in their life. Another one is to offer help and let them answer the question, what is it that you need? If it's an elderly person, they may need their lawn mowed. They may need their house cleaned. They may need something done with their car. If it's a younger person, they may just need a ride to a place or whatever it is, but offer some help and let them give to you what that suggestion should be. Another one would be the wonderful way that God's made us is with two ears and one mouth is so that we listen twice as much as we talk. And I think make sure you take time to listen more and talk less. Sometimes you just say, hey, how you doing? And then just sit back and wait for their response, looking them straight in the eye and wait for them to share with you what's going on. And don't be afraid of that moment or two of uncomfortableness. Just be willing to lend an ear. Validate their identity. Let them know where they're at. Let them know that they're important. Let them know that you care for them. That you're in their corner, that you may not have all the wisdom, but that who they are, and let them know how important they are to you. And then also help them find some resources. I think that's important. There's so many things you can find on the internet. And to be honest with you, I just wrote these down a while ago, but to be honest with you, these two books that our author tonight, our guest, has written are perfect to have accessible to be able to say, hey, I got a couple extras of these. Won't you read these? Especially if it's for a middle grader, a young teenager, something like that would be perfect for these books to be able to offer a resource. And there's all kinds of things you can find on the internet also. If they need that help, that extra help, don't be afraid to say, hey, have you thought about talking to a counselor, to a clergy member, to a doctor? How are you doing physically? How are you doing emotionally and mentally? All those Lees in that Lee family is the way I put it. How are you doing with all of those different Lees in your life? Don't be afraid. I think since COVID, since that pandemic, we all are in need of mental health help. Because we all went through so much trauma. So don't be afraid to offer and help them find a good therapist or good doctor. And never just hope that it'll pass. Oh, they'll be all right and just move on. No, you keep checking up on them. You keep talking to them. Hey, you doing all right today? Had you on my mind? A quick text, a quick phone call, a quick visit, just letting them know that you care. And then also, be a mental health role model for them. Hey, this is what helps me just to breathe, just to take a walk outside, get your mind off it. And there's different ways of doing that. And I really hope and pray, and I really believe this because I've read the books, that our guest tonight is going to be able to give us tips on what works with younger people. But sometimes what works with older people works with younger people and vice versa. But just to take a walk outside and do those five senses of smell, look, feel, taste, touch, all of those is kind of a trick that causes your brain to focus on something else. Thus, we're not focusing on our own trauma, we're focusing on other things, and that could be a help too. Just threw that out there. That was all free of charge. Didn't cost you anything tonight. But we have a great guest this evening, and her name is Amy Pollock, and she was a teacher for over, and I this must be a typo, For over four decades, she's raised three children and loves to play with her seven. Oh, that doesn't get any better than grandchildren. And she loves to play with seven grandchildren. And from her own childhood all the way to the classroom, and as a parent and a grandparent, she's perfectly positioned, perfectly expertised in the ability to be able to write this coming of age book series. And she has a BA in English at Goucher College in Baltimore, a master's in English at the University of Pennsylvania Graduate School. We can just keep going on and on about her education, but she's been in the trenches with the children for so many years. That a few years ago, and we're going to find out why, she wrote a couple books that's just for a middle-aged group children. So I want to welcome to the program Amy Pollock. Amy, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you,
Hey,
Gregory.
good
Thank
evening.
you.
How are you?
Very good. Thanks. Glad to be
Awesome.
here.
Well, it's great to have you. And
Thank
where are
you.
you located right now? What state are you in, Amy?
We're in New Jersey,
In New Jersey.
suburb of New York City. I live in
Oh.
Florham Park, New Jersey.
Wow. Okay. So, how far are you from New York City?
Oh, it's well, there's always a ton of traffic, but
Right.
about 40 minutes, 30 as the crow flies, but that never happens.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
fantastic. I'm so glad that you had time to be with us. We tried to get you on the other night, and technical glitches prevented
Oh,
us from doing that. But I'm glad you're here
happens.
tonight. So,
Thank you.
welcome. Hey, now
Thanks.
what enticed you? First of all, to get involved in writing, but what interested you as in your education of years ago, of hey, I want to be in that English world. What do you like about that?
I just always loved reading and writing. My dad always took me to the library from my earliest times I can remember. Came home, read to me all of Dickens, and he read me the Bible and all mythology, which is all what literature is based on. And I'm from a family of writers. I always loved writing poems and stories, and it's just one thing I could do well. Plenty of things. I could give you a list of things I can't do very well, but that just always was my main interest, aside from being with family and friends. And I love teaching, and for later on, obviously, in my life. And as people will attest to, the child's the father of the man. From one of the great poets said that. I'm blanking on his name, but I always learned so much from my children and from my students. So when
Yeah.
I was working on my books, I would say, I don't know what should happen here. And they'd give me ideas, or if I had something down, they'd say, oh, Mrs. Pollock, that's so dumb. And I'd be, oh, is it okay? And I just always learned a lot from, and they helped me a lot with my writing over the years.
Was all of your education world with the middle grades, or did you have a different various of age levels?
No, I actually taught all grades from elementary, and I did special ed, and then, oh gosh, I taught all subjects. My one principal hired me and said, "Is the science okay with you?" I said, "Well, fine." I didn't know anything about it. I had to learn it before I taught it, and praying the kids wouldn't ask questions, or I'd be, "Does someone want to research that and come back and tell us the answers tomorrow?" I mean, you had to learn to be quick and creative. And then I went to middle school, junior high, we used to call it, from sixth to eighth. And then I taught high school for a number of years, special ed, which was it was quite a motley crew,
Yeah.
but I learned a lot from that, and I think they profited from me. And then I did college, and
Wow.
I like that the best, because you could do more with them, with co challenge them more and so forth. And most of them wanted to be there,
Right.
which was nice.
So when you saw the difference in the years in the different grades, and when you kind of laid in that middle grades, junior high area, had you over the years seen something start to develop that caused you to raise your eyebrows and go, hey, wait, our generations are changing dramatically? Or was it basically always the same? Or did you notice something in our world with our children was starting to become noticeably different?
Well, that's interesting because my mother would say she had never seen, when she was growing up, kids being that mean to one another, which is such a sad commentary. And I was, having raised my own kids and seeing various things they went through, I was like, you know what? You're not wrong about that. And so there's a whole category where certain things, the more they change, the more they stay the same. Because people are people. Kids are kids. They have ups and downs and mood swings and various needs that are all going to be the same. But I guess I'd have to say certain extremes, and on account of technology, a lot. You can't stop the quote unquote progress of that. But that did make it, anyone will tell you that you can feel. Kids can feel left out because everything's posted, and they're like, oh, I wasn't invited to that. That kind of thing has become more problematical, and so there's that going on. There's certainly more rampant drugs around, which is, tricky. I don't want to sound horribly old-fashioned, but it's really generally not to the good that they're very available and I want to say among kids, children, young adults, there's more drinking now. And I have that in my books with her. My Jelly Bean is the youngest of four children in the family. She has three older brothers, and I always just address things on her age level, which is 7 to 12 year olds, not older than that. So I don't go into lurid detail about any of that. But her brother, oldest brother, does have some issues with, gets into some trouble with drugs and alcohol. And then, well, spoiler alert, drops out of high school, which no parent would be particularly thrilled about, generally speaking. And then he does go to join the Marines. So, kids' decision making is, I think, influenced by a lot of the issues that are around
I
more
think
so now.
it impacts them, correct? I mean, with
Yes.
the way they learn, the way they deal with other kids, the way they deal with
Definitely.
adults. When in your teaching years, did you enjoy teaching the kids as much as you enjoyed dealing with the parents of the kids that you taught?
Well, I did love teaching the kids. Now, the parents, because having been one myself and going through a lot of those things, no matter how angry or annoyed a parent would be, I always knew I really understand. I'm a pretty understanding person, and I know in whatever way they went about it, just about every parent I've ever run across, all different. Won't be politically incorrect, but all different walks of life, let's say economic strata, so forth, all pretty much want their kids to be successful and happy. And that's the bottom line. And then how I could help them get there, I think I did help a lot of parents. I run into them sometimes now that their kids are much older. I'm always happy to hear any type of success story.
Do you believe that that age that you're writing your books about now with Jelly Bean being the feature star of those books, that that's the age that sometimes can be the most impressionable? And
Definitely.
do you think the kids that you had, because I remember Mrs. Bass, my fourth grade teacher, she changed my life. And I don't even remember who my eighth grade teacher was, well, I really do, but
Yeah.
or by high school as much. But those that age, I was so moldable, and she leaned in a little extra, and I feel that today.
Definitely, as my dad would always say, and he took such an interest in our education, that no matter where you are and what grade level and what school and place where you live, having a good teacher just makes you so fortunate, because
Yeah.
they could be any place, or you could have the opposite, which you just have to. That's also a good challenge, because you have to learn how to deal with that. Whenever the kids would, all through the years, come up and so and so, she's so unfair, and so this, and so, and I give them ways to approach a teacher. I'd be, don't just go up to her when she's busy. Say, can I make a time to talk to you? And try not to be antagonistic. That's so important also, because you want to say a teacher's doing their best in 95% of cases, unless someone's so burnt out and probably shouldn't be there anymore. That can happen occasionally. But you could just try and find a way, whatever that may be, to have a better relationship and do better in that teacher's class. And I would always encourage them to try not to be antagonistic, because no teacher likes that. And I'd
Right.
say, whatever you're saying to me, you have to find a way to say to that teacher, oh, but she's so this, so that. So,
Yeah.
well, it's a good experience for life. And I was lucky with my fourth grade teacher also. That's where my story started. Like, she would call me up to the front of the class. And kids I went to fourth grade with, and don't forget, for me, that's 60 years ago, remember my getting up there and telling these stories. And my teacher would call me up, Mrs. Trenum, and if she had downtime, and I would tell these stories off the top of my head, and about a mischievous little girl, and the kids enjoyed them.
That's great. Since we're on that, let's just go ahead and turn the corner. I would love for you to hold up your books so that
Okay.
our audience can see these. And the first one is called The Adventures of Jelly Bean. And there's Jelly Bean and the dog and some of the kids in the background there. And the
Oh,
next
that's her
one
brothers.
is the Further Adventures of Jelly Bean. And look at the artwork. Is there a story behind the artwork of these?
Yes, my publishers did it.
Oh.
I can't draw to save my life, but they were very good about that. And we had a little back and forth, because I wanted them to look a certain way, but I can't do it. And so they were wonderful. And my publisher now has my third Jelly Beans
Oh,
book,
good.
but it's not coming out for another 6 months. And for everyone loves a series, and they want to. And I'm working on my book four, in which she does, the Anne of Green Gables
Yes,
stories.
yes.
I used to read them to my daughter, and it's just sort of a nice path how they grow up. I'll keep it. I'm going through that, deciding how to keep it on that level, but she is going to confront some, well, like you do when you're growing up, more
Yeah.
issues. So.
Now, with the beautifulness of the covers of the book, I want to make sure that the audience knows this is not a picture book.
No,
This
not
is,
at
I
all.
mean, thumb through it, because this is an actual
Oh,
book
yeah.
that has a story awesomely written, by the way. I
Thank
mean, you
you.
get captivated right off. I could see that age group just carrying that around with them all day long,
They
trying to
do
figure out
respond to it. They do.
and waiting for the next one to come out. So when it comes out later on in the year, please let me know, and I'd love to have you back on to
I
talk
will.
about the third one.
For
Fantastic. So
sure.
what even got you interested in saying, hey, I think besides maybe your fourth grade teacher, I want to tell a story that these middle-aged kids can relate to? What got you to lean into
Wait.
that?
The middle grade kids. Well, what happened was, I would work on it, my stories, period. I would write them down and work on them periodically. And as I said, when I was teaching, say it was lunchtime or recess, the kids would come up and have some ideas and help me with it, and my own kids would. But I was in school myself, and then I was working and teaching, and I raising. Got married and raised three kids of my own, and now I'm busy with all my babysitting responsibilities and so forth. But it is kind of, you're going to laugh, because my parents always encouraged me, but my parents died young, actually. And my mother-in-law, who lived kind of longer, was, may she rest in peace, a critical person. But, and you knew this meant something, because she would never give compliments to me easily. And she would say to me, whatever happened to your children's stories? They're so good. What did you ever finish them? Did you? And so that was real praise, and
Yes.
it spurred me on. And then, as awful as COVID was, like you were, or the pandemic, for many, many reasons, the silver lining for me was that that made me sit down and finish them and send them around finally, because it was a choice between that and, you know, clean out all my closets, and who wants to tackle that? So, and then my kids, my own children, spurred me on. And, you know, they, and my oldest granddaughter was wonderful. And she was just at a good age for them. Now she's sort of grown out of them a little bit, but she would help me, let me read them to her and be, and say, don't put that in. Or, and I said, what should I do? You know, she'd tell me some idea.
If people want to get a hold of these books, what's the best way, Amy, from your point of view, for them to be able to get their hands on it?
Definitely through Amazon. It's
Okay.
the quickest, it's the easiest, it's the least expensive, and I don't know, you get them so soon after.
Isn't it amazing? They can sell a book cheaper than I can almost buy my own book.
I know.
I don't understand how they do these sales. It's like, oh, my book's selling for 250. What cost me $3.95 to buy my own book?
Honestly,
How do they do
yeah.
this? But that's great. So Amazon's the way to do it, and it's
Yeah.
Pollack, Amy
Yes.
Pollack, and
Amy
then
Meislin. I put in my maiden name in there, but
okay, and then it comes right up with Jelly Bean, and there's the two
Adventures
books,
of Jelly Bean. I'm not
and.
very creative with the titles. My third book is gonna, well, this is The Adventures of Jelly Bean. My third book is The Still Further Adventures of Jelly Bean. And then one of my granddaughters gave me the idea to put for the fourth one, Chronicles of Jelly Bean. So I may use that.
Good, good.
Yeah.
And what topics are some of the things that just because we're going to take a break here just in a minute, but just nutshell it off the top of, hey, I cover this, this, this. What kind of things can a parent say, hey, wait, if I'm going to buy this for my son or daughter, is it appropriate for guys too, young men, young
Yeah,
boys?
they like it also,
Yeah.
especially the part about her dog. They seem to really take to that. And I have a lot of good, interesting, well, of course, she has the three older brothers and
Right.
has all the different relationships, like anybody in a fairly large family will attest to. It's you know, little can be a little tricky, the personalities and so forth. So she has that. She has parents who are, they're sort of based on my own. I had wonderful parents. I was so lucky and an idyllic childhood. You only kind of realize that in retrospect when you see what other people have gone through. And but the parents are busy. They're like any parent, like I was. They don't really have the time to give a lot of attention to Jelly Bean. She's the youngest. And they have a lot going on, their own careers, their own, their other children, their lives, and so forth. And so I focus on that and who she turns to, and she loves her dog, and that gives her comfort. And it's also friends issues, which every kid goes through. I mean,
Yeah.
it's tricky. Popularity, what happens with that? How important is it to be in with a certain group and a certain person? She goes through that, and she has friends with a variety of behavioral issues and issues at home, and one's anorexic and one is of mixed race, and she loves that little girl, but she's from the quote unquote wrong side of the tracks, and that happens in a lot of households where the parents don't prefer her to be friends with her and what she does about that. And pretty commonplace, typical issues that come up. And with teachers also. And that's about a nutshell of it.
Yeah, we're going to take our first break, our only break. On the other side of this break, Amy, I really want to find out, since this isn't Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew or those type of things, because it's just really different, how you came up with the more modern problems, and then what's your advice as you started writing about them for even parents if they want to read these to their children or with their children, which would be awesome. What can they glean from this? And is there any life lessons to be found? We're going to talk about that on the other side of this commercial break. We'll be back in about a minute and 22 seconds. Hang with us. Be right back.
from HCI Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. I tell you what, we have a great guest with us all the way from New Jersey on the other beautiful, beautiful part of the country. Amy Pollack, P-O-L-L-A-C-K, and she has written two books about the life of Jelly Bean and her siblings and her family and her neighborhood and her friends. And I want you to show the covers of these beautiful books again, because that's what this is all about. I want to give all of you the opportunity to look at these. And these are just beautiful covers, but it's not a picture book. It's actually a story of adventures that this young girl is going through. And, you know, when I come home every day, Amy, I will probably before that I hit the sack and try to get a power nap around midnight for a couple hours before I get up and come back to work, because I don't sleep very often. I always watch one episode of Leave It to Beaver. I always watch an Andy Griffith show, or two, or three, or four. That's my favorite. But in reality, those old 50s and early 60s shows, the world's not like that much anymore.
No.
You know, Ward and June Cleaver are long gone. I didn't have a Ward and June Cleaver. I didn't have an Andy Griffith for a dad.
Mm-hmm.
These books really give a parent and a child an opportunity for discussion. Was that the purpose of not just to entertain, but also to educate this group of people through your stories of the life of Jelly Bean?
So, Gregory, it's funny because I didn't set out to do this. I just set out to mostly have entertaining stories. And then when I got these really great reviews from Kirkus and from US Review, they said Jelly Bean's a real role model.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, okay, great. My characters kind of tell me what they want me to do. And Jelly Bean is the type of person, she will stick up for someone. She will try to help someone who's kind of in trouble, generally speaking. And some kids are like that, and it is a nice way to be. But it is interesting that I didn't set out initially to have it like an instructive type of book. But it is, and parents have said they really do like it. Can open a lot of areas for discussion with your children if you're the parent or the grandparent who's reading it with them, because they can begin to talk about issues that are in my books that would be hard to broach ordinarily.
Yeah, I think it'd be excellent, because I mean the books are so well written that you can actually sit down with your child or grandchild and say, hey, does anybody treat you like that? Or when Jelly Bean had a friend like this, do you have a friend like that? And it's a perfect discussion opener.
Right. Because as you were saying before, and I so agree, because on my website, amypollack.com, it also has my PR person was encouraging me to write down things that you could glean from my books and my, or from my life as well. And among the 15 top tips for raising successful and happy children is, like you were saying, you do have to be there and be available And it's really hard because you have to be available when your children are interested in talking to you, which is not all the time. And if there's that shut door, you have to really try to find a way to say, okay, if you can't talk to me right now, give me a time when you can, because there are just a couple of things I'd like to discuss with you. And you have to be open to, which I've found, which is really hard, just listening to something that's bothering them, even when it, because I remember once my son said to me, so much else I wanted to discuss with him. But he said in his band, he said, two of the guys, I don't like what they want to wear. Like, and I was like, oh boy, that doesn't seem so crucial to me, but okay, and then you have to, I learned some things from a book that these two women, I should give them credit, had written about. Their names are Lott and Nelson. I can't remember their first names, but at one point I had read a lot of books on the topic because I thought I'm either going to have to pay for some pricey therapist or try to find some way, different ways to go in some of the literature, how-to literature on the topic. And they did help me a lot. Like they said, you don't always have to have the last word, which is such a good piece of advice. And it's so hard as a parent. Sometimes you just let that. Have to let them have the last say. So it's sort of like you were saying. So they feel valued. So they feel important. And your children aren't fully formed yet for quite a while, and they're trying to figure things out. And you really just have to be there for that's half the battle. And be a good listener, which is really
Yeah.
hard.
Was there anything that you wrote about and then you looked at it and you go, nope, that's too deep and thick. I'm going to pull that out.
Well, that's interesting you should say that because with the whole dicey issue of the Jelly Bean's best friend and how they don't prefer her to go over there and no one else is allowed to go over there because the mom can't be home a lot. She's a single parent, which is plenty of cases.
Oh,
But the
yeah.
little 9-year-old is on her own a lot. I had students like that in that situation, and I did have to dial it back a little. I couldn't make it too stark because then it wouldn't be appropriate for kids in the age that my book is geared towards. And I had to let that, and I didn't want to make her mom, Jelly Bean's mom, a monster because she wasn't, but yet. So many things are multi-sided. My book, if anything, as my PR person, as Brian Feinblum said, it makes you think. And which is a good thing, because so many things are not black and white, so to say. And the grandmother, well, I have to make the grandmother such a wonderful person. I'm partial to the grandmother, of course.
Yes.
And she understands from her perspective what kids go through. And a lot of the times it is, without rambling too much, this too shall pass. And you
Oh.
have to, figure out a way
Are
with this
you
friend.
the grandmother in this book, or are you Jelly Bean? Or is a little bit of
No.
you in any of the characters?
Yes, it's a little bit of both. I
Okay.
certainly was mischievous and went through some of these things, like in my book 4, for a little advance on it. Once I would lead my sister into these various escapades, and we set up a restaurant outside on our porch. I had no idea where we were going to get the food from to serve, and we put out ketchup and mustard on the tables, and of course, it all got all over our mother's good tablecloths, and she wasn't going to be happy about that. But I am the grandmother, and my own grandmothers were so wonderful, and my one grandmother just had so much patience, and we never, ever, ever heard her raise her voice, and would just smooth things over and help the mom, because my mom, of course, would get upset about different naturally, and my grandmother would be all right, and she would kind of talk her down, and we did some other things too. But
Isn't
yeah, but I.
it amazing the wisdom that the grandparent has now that we are grandparents,
I know.
and the way we handle things differently than when we were parents? It's like we really got emotional, and it's like, oh no, it'll be all right,
I know.
with our
Exactly.
grandkids doing now.
Exactly. It's just so different. I guess it just comes with age and experience, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is there any topic that you want to write about, but you just don't know how to put that in the storyline of Jelly Bean or somebody in her family?
Yeah, well, this is commonplace now, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do about it in my book four, but there is someone in their class who does want to transgender. And I'll have to see. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. It's happens now.
Oh yeah.
Part of life, and I don't like to disregard any issues that are around, but and also her brother who, well, a different issue aside from her friend who's anorexic, and that's a whole thing. And the one who, okay, so her best friend who does move away, I don't want to give too much away, the
Yeah.
father, as she tells Jelly Bean, is a hitter. Not a good thing, but it happens. I've
Yeah.
had a lot of students who, once in my class, at when I taught in college and I taught writing to freshmen, and once we had to go around and talk about the conflicts we were going to be writing about, oh boy. But and I can still remember how I felt by the end, because there were 19 kids in each class. I was in tears. Kids that were kicked out of their house by a step parent, kids who were the mother left and left them in charge. I had kids who were, well, you probably know about this, I'm sure you do. Emancipated minors, kids where
Yeah.
the parents signed off on them and they lived alone. I mean, who just didn't care, and all kinds of things that go on. But I have to, choose among and between all these situations, and I don't want to make things too stark for a someone young reading it. But yet, if the parents. And there is a lot of, well, as you were saying, also drug use among even younger kids. And what about thoughts of suicide? I don't have that in there as yet, but as I said, my characters tell me what they need me to do. I'm not very good at outlining. I really try hard, but
Right.
different situations arise. So I have to see about those. I'm not sure.
When you were teaching the middle grades classes, did you ever experience somebody with anorexia? I don't believe all through my grade school, high school years, I ever knew of anybody. That seemed like that's something that came a
It's
generation or two after I was out of school. But there's so much stuff
I know.
and noise that our kids have to deal with now.
Agree. I know. It's very different. I think things are more extreme now. Right. Growing up, no, it was, I can't remember anything of that nature.
Isn't this a
No.
perfect series? And I'm not just trying to sell your books, but isn't this a
Thanks.
perfect series for kids to be able to just sit on the couch, turn the TV off, and just get engrossed in these stories like we used to do with Huckleberry Finn and
Yeah.
Mark, all those great books when we were kids, and you fell in love with it and you couldn't wait to turn the next page. These are perfect books like that.
Thank you. Totally. No, I have been compared to Judy Blume and
Oh,
other authors, and I loved all the classics. No ifs, ands, or buts. And they were wonderful. And I have been told that my books are compelling. And but yes, she does have to deal with a different world in many ways from like the Cleavers, like you said. It's just not really how it is now,
no.
for good, bad, or indifferent, and kids do have to, there are a lot of choices to be made and things that they're up against,
Yeah.
which are different. And I do try to try to meet a lot of them head on.
Do you believe parents need to put a good, solid boundary of protection around our children? Like with this, with the media, with Facebook, with interactions and things that there's so many predators out there.
I know.
If you had all the parents' ears right now and you'd say, hey, from my experience, from my years of teaching, from my writing and grandchildren and children, this is a couple things, parents, lean in and listen that you need to do with your kids now. What would a couple of those things be that they need to really try to instill and watch out for with their kids?
Well, I would say, Gregory, that the best thing to do, and as a parent, and now as a grandparent, is to sit down with your kids, whether they like it or not, and speak to them about what go, oh, so and so is allowed to, be on her, most aren't, tablet, all this many hours. And my mother used to always say, I don't care what anyone else is allowed to do. Well, that doesn't always work because you don't want to get them so reined in that they're going to sneak. You can't do that. But
Right.
yet, you can't be too lenient. It's a question of finding that middle ground, sitting down with your child and trying to work out some sort of compromise. That's the best you could do is listen, feel like they're being listened to. But say, honestly, these are my concerns. And this is how come we need to establish some sort of boundary. I can't have you on all these platforms 24/7. You need to be doing other things. You need to be, doing a sport, which thank God my kids always did. Or, you can't be out till all hours. Well, when they get a little older, that's kind of tough. And, because I had one of my kids who tested the limits with that. And it's just best and to write down some an agreement and have them sign it. And you can say, I'm willing to be flexible if there's a certain event or something going on. It's a little tough to have every single other child allowed to do something and yours isn't. That's a little, depending on what it is, of course. And I'm not talking about a big party where no parents are home. That's a whole nother bag of worms. But I think it's best to try to discuss this so they don't feel like a rule is random. And, we parents just try to do your best. You really do. And try to make them know that I care about you. This is why we're having this discussion.
Does Jelly Bean have that meeting like that with her parents? We're going to do a contract, Jelly Bean. What some of the things need to be on this? And you have it jotted down in one of your books?
That's a really good idea. Well, I guess I'll have to give you credit for that if I put that somewhere along the line, but it is a really good idea. I probably should.
That'd be interesting to see how Jelly Bean responds to that, likes it or dislikes it, needs it or doesn't feel like it, but then ends up embracing it. I can see that falling right in the type of personality that Jelly Bean has, that this
Interesting.
would be a good idea. Maybe she saw a friend that
Got in trouble.
got in trouble. Why did this happen to her, Jelly Bean? This is why I wanted to sit down and talk that with you.
Interesting. Yeah, I probably should do that. Now, of course, she has the older siblings,
Right.
which is a little tough because, well, so and so's allowed to do, well, they're older. When you get to be that age, who doesn't hear that?
Right.
But that's actually a great idea. I think I probably will. Maybe in my book four.
Great. What about the school system? Here you are. You have been the teacher of so many kids, hundreds of kids, and I don't think you even realize the impact that you've made, the positive influence until years later. When somehow in heaven we get to recall all of that and get those rewards. But, and you see the time now that you're the grandparent, how has school changed for the better or for the not so good side of life in 2023? What
Well,
do we need to do that's different?
that's a little tricky because I do think, Gregory, that on account of a lot of households changing, what goes on. I don't want to cast aspersions on any particular group of people, but there are a
Right.
lot of more influences. I know, well, to be brutally honest, a lot of parents, well, I don't know how much this has changed, but drink and take drugs. And there are a lot of other influences out there that probably didn't used to be the case. So it has affected the schools because they have to deal with so much more. I mean, I had kids that were really bad behavior problems. And whereas when I was growing up, the parents would pretty much always side with the teachers, now they often don't. And that's kind of a problem. I don't think there are any easy answers to that.
Yeah.
I wish I had some.
Yeah. Is there anything before we go? We only got a minute or two left, Amy, that you would like to have the listeners know about Jelly Bean and your writing? And these would be great gifts, were they not, for birthdays or Christmas or all this, both these sets. You already bought both of them. You might as well get them all geared up and buy one of each at least. For the kids. Anything else you want to tell the people about it?
No, I just hoped I enjoy my books and learn from them and write a little review. Could be a sentence if they like them on Amazon. And I just hoped I do enjoy my books. And yes, and people have said, and they do make good gifts. And I come into schools, I do presentations, and the kids always seem to enjoy that. Sometimes
Now,
they
do you
hug me at
travel the
the end.
country or just your area out there in the east?
Well, actually, I was just in LA because someone had
Ah.
thought that they would make a good TV series. So I would be willing to go various places. I think I would to.
I think you walked into your classroom with these books and sitting the kids sitting around your feet and you tell them one of the episodes of a story, that would just, oh man, that would be awesome. And then to the teachers. And if somebody wants to have you come in to their school or group to do that, how would they get in touch with you, Amy?
I'll definitely go on my website, amypollock.com, all lowercase. And it has all
Fantastic.
my info. And yeah, usually when I do a presentation, I usually have the kid, I read a little something. Well, I talk about writing, speak to them. I have a lot of back and forth because no student, no kid, boy or girl wants to hear you drone on and on. And then I read something, I have them write a prediction or a suggestion for me, or they can write the beginning of their own story. Then we share and we talk about what goes into a good story. So they learn, I like them to learn a little something too, but in a fun, participatory way.
Very interactive.
That's best,
That's
I
fantastic.
think. Thank
Show your books one more time before we
you.
go. I want to make sure they see them one more time.
Okay.
You never want to not show your books. There they are.
Thank you.
Adventures of Jelly Bean and the Future Adventures of Jelly
Further,
Bean.
further.
The further adventures. And then we have two more coming out. Well, one
Yes.
more, and then another one is in the making too. So we're
Yes.
looking for this to be a series. So that's just fantastic. Amy, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Gregory. Thanks for having me.
I'd love to have you come back when the next one's getting ready to come out and we'll do a
For
big
sure.
kickoff of, and maybe we can buy a couple and give them away as
Oh,
prizes
great.
on the show too.
That'd be awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
AmyPollock.com. Thank you.
Yes.
As we do
Thank you,
each
Gregory.
and every program, we always want to close with, and especially since this one's about children and addressing and handling problems with children, I want to let you know when you're raising kids, there's no dress rehearsal for this. As
No.
parents and grandparents, you just go through life and you
It's
handle it
hard.
as best you can.
I
And
know.
these books will give parents some good wisdom. And I just want you to all lean into the program as we close to understand that no matter what you're going through, no matter what your kids are going through, no matter what your grandkids are going through, there's always hope.
Yeah.
There's always, always hope.
You're so
And
right.
so just remember that and join us next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence, live from Houston, Texas. God bless. Have an awesome, awesome week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.